Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Invite the congregation to please stand and face the back of the sanctuary this morning. We welcome you here in the name of Jesus. Glad that you made it to church today on our celebration of the Ascension of our Lord, which we observe today but happened on Thursday officially in the calendar. We're blessed to be together in Christ and thankful for all his gifts and promises that he gives to us and that he won for us in his cross and resurrection. We do welcome those who are tuned in on the radio this morning as well. Thanks for joining us. And we begin our service this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our intro from Psalm 110. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. We sing together our processional hymn this morning. That's hymn 477, Alleluia, Alleluia, Hearts to Heaven. Let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. This holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, as your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, ascended into the heavens, so may we also ascend in heart and mind and continually dwell there with him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading this morning for our celebration of the Ascension comes from the book of Acts in the first chapter. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson for today is from the book of Ephesians in the first chapter. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who dwells, who fills all in all." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand now for our Alleluia verse in the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their mind to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We sing together our doxology. Be seated. Would you join us now in singing our sermon hymn for today, hymn 525, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And ushered in, our Lord has a new kind of reign and a new kind of rule among us, his people, and in the earth. Not like the kind of kingdom that we want to build while we're here, living this life, breathing his air, drinking his water, and eating his food. But a different kind of reign and a different kind of rule that he blesses us, O most unworthy, with understanding something about even this morning. It's a new kind of reign that Jesus is in charge of. In his ascension, he disappears from their sight, but he doesn't leave them alone, as he's promised to them and also to us, that he will not leave us alone, but the Holy Spirit comes to us. He's come upon you in the waters of baptism, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth, which is where we sit this morning. He goes up into heaven. And the book of Ephesians tells us that all things are under his feet, that he is in control, despite the fact that many of our days and many of our moments are lived with this question: God, how? Where are you? Why aren't you helping me? Despite the fact that with our earthly eyes it seems as though, at times, he's gone away. Where is he? And where is his help? And what is he doing? And not to mention that on top of it, it doesn't seem much to our earthly eyes or ears like he's reigning in control. But like the world is spinning into utter chaos right in front of our eyes. There's people who are now developing relationships with an AI bot on their phone. They're lonely. They don't have anybody to talk to. So download this app and talk with nobody who looks like somebody. And it's even worse than that. Now AI can map your brain, they say. And you can download an app on your phone or your device in which you can turn to for your counseling, for your therapy. Once it learns your brain, so to speak, it can supposedly help you with any problem you might have in life. See, the world's kind of reign, we see it in our text this morning, just a glimpse of it, with the apostles' question to Jesus, when they say, Lord, is now the time that you'll restore the kingdom to Israel? Well, simply put, they had their own ideas of what this was all going to look like, didn't they? They had their own ideas of what Jesus was going to do and how and when he was going to help them. So do we. Pre-programmed, programmatic, our own ideas and our own answers to our own problems, in which we look to God for those, rather than, like we talked about last Sunday, his plans, which may not go the way that we think ours should. It's easy to be about this work of building our own kingdoms, of trying to establish, it sounds a little weird, but I think it's still true, our own reign, our own rule, or our own control over our own life. It's my money. I'll do what I want with it. They're my decisions. Nobody can tell me what to do. I'm not going to spend my time just being taken advantage of by somebody else, because this is my life and my stuff, and you better not touch it. That's more the theory, isn't it? That's more the idea of our kingdom building. But Jesus ushers in a brand new kingdom, one like the world has never seen before. What does that kingdom look like? How is God, through his Son, ascended into the heavens ruling? How is he reigning right now when our eyes say it looks like something else is in control in our world and it doesn't certainly look like him at all? Well, that's what our text tells us from Luke's Gospel, in the 24th chapter. It tells us about this kingdom of God, about this reign and this rule of Jesus the Christ, crucified and risen. And it tells it to us right here in verse 46 and 47. Would you look at it with me if you've got your Bible or your bulletin? We'll start there in verse 46. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead." And then verse 47, "And that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And then one more verse, verse 48, "You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you." This is his kingdom. This is his reign. Through what, you say? Through repentance and the forgiveness of sins. That, my friends, is how he rules. Through mercy, through grace, through forgiveness. My human brain goes, zzz. How is that ruling? How is that actually a reigning? How is that a kingdom? How is that power or authority? Because to the world it looks like weakness. It feels like weakness when somebody's hurt you to go up to them and say, "It's okay, I forgive you." When somebody's done something terrible, does it feel like strength to forgive them? Well, we'll show them our strength, won't we? We'd more often go for vengeance or to get even. Or maybe we'd do that even the quiet way, which would be, "Oh, I just never talk to that person again. I'm done with them." But to really forgive from the heart doesn't look like power. It doesn't look like authority to our eyes in this world. Those same eyes that don't see God at work everywhere we look. The same guys that don't see him ruling and reigning in the world. But listen to the text from Ephesians this morning. He says, "That the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and of knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened to what? His reign of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. That you may know what is the hope to which he has called you." A hope to what? A hope to his reign of the power of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? Repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places? Repentance and the forgiveness of sins. You don't think it's powerful? The world doesn't. But oh my goodness, if we just take a look at it for just a moment, what we'll actually see is its power is immeasurable. It is the greatness for which Christ died. We say in the supper, when we eat and drink his very body and blood, we say, "Given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." This is his power, friends. This is his kingdom at work in our world. And we can see its power by faith, by the blessed gift of that Holy Spirit that Jesus talked about the moments of his ascension. We can see that it's what holds the church together. Repentance and the forgiveness of sins. It's what holds our families together. Repentance and the forgiveness of sins. It's what holds our workplaces together. Let them think they're secular, but guess what? God's still in control. The only reason those people come into that office that day is because what? Repentance and forgiveness of sins. They just don't call it that. I wish they could. Our relationships with our brothers and our sisters, with our parents, or with our children. The only thing that can hold it together is repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Why? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And every sin that we engage in, not just a sin before God, but also a sin before our neighbor that hurts people. And people sin and hurt us. And there's no way through the woods, brothers and sisters, without his glorious reign and rule that comes to us through the forgiveness of sins. Can you see it? How he holds the world together, as Paul tells us in Colossians, that all things are to him and from him and through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. When he's lifted up on high and gives gifts to men, when all things are placed under his feet, he is ruling and reigning and brought you to his word this morning because of what? What was the power behind that? Repentance and the forgiveness of sins. It's law, it's gospel, it's the whole thing. That's why it's in the sacraments, right? That is the sacraments of holy baptism. Forgiveness. We're clothed with Christ's righteousness. In the supper, forgiveness. This is his work. You know, sometimes I wonder, you got the triumphal entry, right? Jesus riding into Jerusalem before his crucifixion. And then you have this mock trial, this sham trial, where he's falsely convicted of these things, accused by his own people, and then this weird sort of crowning moment, right? Where they pound this crown of thorns on his head. And then later, they lift him up, but it's on a cross, nailed to it, that he might bleed and die, and the Lamb might shed its blood for the life of the world. And I wonder, it's a bit like a coronation, isn't it? A coronation for a king. Even Pilate writes on the cross, right, an inscription above the cross, the King of the Jews. Like some kind of strange coronation. But in that moment, in those moments of him shedding his own life blood for you, it was for your forgiveness. That he might reign in a way that makes absolutely no sense to the world, ascended into the heavens, that he might take this beautiful thing like repentance and forgiveness, and that he might use it in these ways that the world doesn't understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says that God uses the base things of the world and the simple things of the world to put to shame those who think they're wise. Those who think they understand rule and reign, but end up shedding others' blood, end up hurting their neighbors to get it. No, no. This kingdom, this king, coronated, lifted up, ascended into the heavens, he shed his blood for us. that we might know beyond the shadow of a doubt that his words are true. Your sins are forgiven. Whatever's there, I don't know. But it's done. It's gone. It's covered. You're righteous because of the cross of your Lord Jesus. That's what John tells us in 1 John, right? That if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And don't miss that last part. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. True, sins forgiven, the sins that we do. But then there's one more part, right? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those are the sins that people have done to you that are cleansed. It all goes away in Christ. This is the power and the reign and the rule of his eternal kingdom at work in the world. To make sinners clean and holy and without blemish or spot before him, that we might live our lives in freedom and with joy, knowing that Christ was sacrificed in our place and that his righteousness is ours. So keep your eyes open as you go about your day tomorrow and your week this week to come, and notice this blessed thing called repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Engage in it. Live in it. It is his reign and his rule. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we confess our faith this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, God of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of all substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for our sin and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us among us. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. Which is all by the prophets, and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the Lord to come. Amen.
You may be seated for our prayers this morning. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, since your Son has gone up with a shout and the sound of a trumpet, ascended in triumph and seated at your right hand, so open our lips to sing praises to our King, rejoicing and living in the truth of his victory, and open our eyes of faith and trust in you, that we might see your rule and reign. Lord, here at your church, in your gifts and the sacraments, and as you've taught others to love and forgive in life, Lord, in your mercy. Father of glory, We give you thanks for the blessings that you've given to Carol Schrader. Lord, we praise you for that and ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon your whole church, that your church would proclaim to the ends of the earth this good news of your rule and reign that your Son has accomplished in his life, death, and resurrection and ascension, the blessings of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, since your Son will shatter kings when he executes judgment on the nations, we pray you keep all of our leaders from acting in ways that will earn them his wrath. And we ask humbly that you'd bless them with wisdom to govern us in accord with your righteous ways. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, your Son has ascended to sit at your right hand until you make all enemies his footstool. Fix our eyes on him, ruling in the midst of his enemies, that we may have no fear of them, but abide in his peace. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you have seated Christ at your right hand for our deliverance. Remember all those who are afflicted with any illness or injury. We name before you this morning Alicia Rodriguez, Larry Wilcox, Jeff Autopolic, Gail Nelson, Jay Kempf. Lord, continue with Carol Schrader, Carl Keller, the family and friends of Susan St. Cyr and Audra Rendon and Greg Gonzalez and Sandy Cody and Larry Reinbarger and Rob Miller and Rupert Gallegos and Ella Gonzalez and Donna Ford and Debbie Ford. Lord, be with Betty Gray and Sandy Santa Stephen and Carol and Jerry's family and Betty Patton and Sonny Rumler and Don Hermanson and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, we also bring before you Annie Nissen and their new baby girl, and Grant. Ask for strength for them as well. And we give you thanks for a healthy birth. Lord, give to all those that we've named before you this morning health and strength according to your will. Sustain them in faith, knowing that for Jesus' sake, you will raise them in glory on the last day. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O Lord, we pray you keep us from hardness of heart and unbelief. We pray that you keep us from wandering from your kingdom of repentance and forgiveness. We pray that you keep us from holding grudges against one another and from living in a land of anger and hostility. Lord, lead us by the hand to your joy and peace that comes through forgiveness. And help us by your Spirit to believe the witnesses of those who saw your Son after his resurrection, that we may joyfully recline at table with him today and eat his body and drink his blood in a worthy manner. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. From you all things come, and to you all things must return. Receive our thanks for your many blessings. Guide our church and our school. Strengthen our hospitals and our doctors and our nurses. Strengthen our community, Lord, by bringing them to the truths of your forgiveness and love. And Lord, go with us all, each and every step of our lives, that we may see you in your word and sacraments, and that we may know the power of your resurrection. We bring these things before you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you, O Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We come to the time in our service where our offerings are collected and presented. We'll enjoy an instrumental piece from our organist during that time. You've been joining us on the radio this morning. We thank you for tuning into our service, and we wish you the Lord's blessings in Christ Jesus. If you're gathered in the sanctuary, we ask that you turn over to page 11 in your bulletin, and please stand now if you're able for the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should, at all times and in all places, give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who after his resurrection appeared openly to all his disciples, and in their sight was taken up into heaven, that he might make us partakers of his divine life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.